Welcome to The Plants We Eat, an investigation of the history, biology, and culture of the plants that we use for food. I'm Jeff Gilman, director of the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens and plant history buff.
And I'm Cindy Proctor, part-time instructor from Central Piedmont Community College in Charlotte and an urban landscape enthusiast.
And today we're going to talk about a plant which actually has a lot of great uses for the landscape, but its number one use is for food.
Okay. I'm excited to talk about both because you're right. There is a great use for it in the landscape.
Exactly. We're talking about the sweet potato today. And let's make something clear right off the bat. A sweet potato is not a potato, and it is not a yam. So the yam actually is basically a type of grass. Yam has nothing to do with a potato or sweet potato. Sweet potato is actually in the morning glory family, and potato is in the nightshade family. So sweet potato, potato, and yam, very, very different. Sweet potato originally is from South America. It's a South American plant. It was domesticated in Central America about 5,000 to 10,000 years ago. And now, Cindy, you're from North Carolina originally, aren't you?
No, but I went to NC State.
Well, good enough then.
That's right.
So you have these close ties to North Carolina. We're in North Carolina right now. And you know what? Sweet potato is the state vegetable.
That's true.
Of North Carolina.
It's true. And it's a horticulture crop.
It is.
It is.
North Carolina produces about 40% of the country's sweet potatoes.
And you know why?
No, I want to know.
It loves the heat. Isn't that refreshing?
It is refreshing.
We're trying to beat, you know, we're trying to navigate through the heat in the plant world all the time, but it loves the heat.
Mm-hmm. In terms of production, here's some numbers that I found. Food efficiency. Sweet potato really takes the cake. Sugarcane actually is more food efficient, but sugarcane produces a lot of carbohydrates, a lot of sugars, mm-hmm. without producing really, you know, a lot of vitamins, mm-hmm. a lot of healthy stuff. So in terms of really healthy plants, sweet potatoes is really amazingly well. The potato will produce around 93,000 calories per hectare per day. The sweet potato produces 144,000, almost 145,000 calories per hectare per day, which is just off the charts incredible. If you've got a starving country or starving population, sweet potato really is the way to go. Sweet potatoes tend to be high in vitamin A, which is a big deal. I mean, they're not like polar bear liver, which polar bear liver is just, you can actually, did you know, yeah, just to get totally off track, did you know that you can actually kill yourself from vitamin A toxicity if you eat polar bear liver?
I had no idea.
Well, now you know. So okay. You can kill yourself by okay. eating polar bear liver because of the amount of vitamin A in
I'll
it.
I'll remember that.
Sweet potatoes do not have vitamin A. They actually have beta-carotene, mm-hmm. and beta-carotene is a vitamin A precursor, so we eat beta-carotene that gets made into vitamin A, mm-hmm. and then, you know, we don't have a vitamin A deficiency. Of course, vitamin A is a huge, huge issue. An estimated 250,000 to 500,000vitamin A-deficient children become blind every year. And half of those that become blind will actually die within 12 months of losing their sight. It's actually estimated that vitamin A deficiency affects more than 140 million preschool children every year, but only 500,000, you know, between 250 and 500,000 of those will then go blind, and half of those will die. This is a huge, huge deal. Obviously, in poorer countries, this vitamin A deficiency. And at this point, and the story of sweet potato really is the story of beta-carotene and vitamin A. And I think that to start talking about this, we should actually start talking about golden rice. Cindy, you've heard about golden rice at least a little bit.
Yes, I have.
And you know, it's this, a lot of people have. It was this rice that was developed around 2000 or so, where the rice was fortified using genetic engineering with beta-carotene. And it was developed with the idea that it can be used in poorer countries to provide kids with a source of beta carotene to avoid this blindness, to avoid this death. The problem was that when people found out that it was genetically modified, there was a great deal of rejection of it. One of the countries which could have really used it and rejected it strongly was India. It still is having trouble getting a foothold in these countries. People are just rejecting it, rejecting this stuff that could save a lot of children. This is a big deal. Well, enter sweet potatoes. In fact, in 2016, the World Food Prize went to biofortified sweet potatoes. Biofortified sweet potatoes are sweet potatoes that produce a lot of vitamin A. Now, here's something that you may not know about sweet potatoes. Do you know that sweet potatoes actually come in a wide variety of colors?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in Africa, you know, the sweet potatoes that we see most commonly are actually either white or yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your white and yellow sweet potatoes actually have very little beta-carotene. Beta-carotene actually provides that orange color, mm-hmm. like you see in carrots. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've heard that carrots have a lot of beta-carotene. Well, that's why they're orange. Mm-hmm. That beta-carotene makes them orange. So then this biofortified sweet potato, this is a sweet potato that is naturally orange, and it was bred to have even more beta-carotene so that when they grow it in primarily these African countries, they would have this source of beta-carotene. And this sounds all well and good. And these sweet potatoes are easily accepted by populations because they were bred using standard methods. No big deal. Hooray, we have this vitamin A source that saves our children. But here's the thing that you may not realize. In 2015, researchers at the University of Ghent found out that basically all of our sweet potatoes are transgenic. Isn't that odd?
Yes, that is odd.
So by finding out they're all transgenic, they actually ran tests on a whole bunch of cultivars of sweet potatoes. And when they ran these tests, they discovered that there were pieces within the DNA that could only have been transferred there by a bacteria called Agrobacterium. Now, this is really important because this Agrobacterium, this is a bacteria which naturally transfers its genes into a plant that it affects. It's actually called crown gall. It's a disease that literally transfers genes from the disease to the plant that it's attacking. When I say crown gall, that means that it actually forms a growth on the plant. So typically, what happens, this is called horizontal gene transfer, by the way, just to give you the lingo. Horizontal gene transfers occur when Agrobacterium transfers part of some of its genes over into the plant. And when it transfers these genes into the plant, it causes the plant to form these galls. The genes don't usually go beyond the galls or beyond the growths. The genes stay within the galls and the growths. But scientists have found a way to allow the genes to move beyond the – it's actually very complicated, but let's just make it simple. Scientists have found a way to have the genes not just stay in a gall, in fact, really not to have much of a gall at all, but the genes move into the plant and stay there, genes for whatever. And that's how we transform or change plants to make them genetically engineered nowadays.
Interesting choice of words.
What's that?
the interesting choice of words.
To change the plants?
Yes.
Well, they are changing
genetically
the
modified.
That's what I should have said.
Yes.
Genetically. Okay, let's go with that. Genetically modified the plants. So we use this Agrobacterium, again, which moves its genes into the plant. Well, so again, what these researchers from University of Ghent found is that there are a few plants where this has happened before, that genes have been moved from Agrobacterium naturally. Okay, so genes have been moved from Agrobacterium naturally into the plant, and the plant has then taken these genes and held them over time. Those are basically tree tobacco and toad flax. Those are two plants, and of course, we don't deal with tree tobacco and toad flax very much.
That's right.
Probably never heard
right.
of those. They're not used for anything. But we have discovered that Agrobacterium has moved genes into that, and then these plants have taken that up and been naturally genetically modified. But we don't think about these plants, so we don't think about it too much. But then we find out that sweet potato, this has occurred to, and occurred about 8,000 years ago. And essentially every sweet potato that you eat has been naturally genetically modified. Not only that, based on their testing, it looks as though we actually, and by we I mean humans, actually selected the sweet potato specifically because of the transformation or the genetic modification that occurred. That genetic modification seems to have made some fundamental change in the sweet potato that made it more attractive to us. We can't name what that is right now. But based on their tests, this is probably what occurred. So, how should countries in Africa feel about eating sweet potatoes that were genetically modified? Now, albeit they were genetically modified by Agrobacterium in nature instead of in a petri dish, but this is still a genetic modification. Not only that, the changes that went into that potato, certainly there were some that we wanted to see go into that potato, but it's almost certain that other things were moved into the potato that we don't know much about.
So are you saying they accepted the sweet potato in this condition, but not the yellow rice?
The golden rice.
Or yellow rice.
Golden rice.
Is it yellow rice too?
Well, it's yellow. It is does have that color because okay. of the beta carotene.
Would people know it as yellow rice?
It's always been called okay. golden rice okay. in my...
Okay. So that's what you're saying. You're saying that if they knew more about the sweet potato, they may not accept it like they have not accepted the golden rice. Is that what
That's what I'm wondering.
I think it's because the golden rice isn't white. it's a yellow color.
Do you think that's the reason it has more to do with this physical change?
Yeah, I think it must appear dirty or
but
something.
So with the sweet potatoes, I mean, you can find all kinds of articles mm-hmm. on this. The sweet potatoes gained rapid acceptance. It was just, you know, all of a sudden, I should say they're introduced this orange sweet potato, and they're perfectly willing to accept the orange sweet potato instead of the white and yellow sweet potato.
I think, I'm going to speculate, but I think it's because that seems more natural than just all of a sudden their rice is gold and yellow color or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's it.
So you think that has more to do with this than with the stigma of genetic modification?
Yes, I wonder.
I wonder too.
You know,
I find it actually.
It sounds like a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, I don't know. It's just really interesting to me. Of course, that said, I do love my sweet potatoes, sweet potato fries.
Yes,
I love those.
You're all trying to watch our waste. Sweet potato fries,
right,
definitely.
Exactly. Sweet potato fries. And you know you can actually make a vanilla sauce with that? And you dip the sweet potato fries in the vanilla sauce, and it's just really unbelievable.
I expect you to bring that next time.
Next time?
Yes,
okay.
You bring that next time.
All right.
But you know, sweet potatoes, growing them is kind of fun. I think of it as a great science project. Have you ever grown sweet potatoes?
I have not grown sweet potatoes.
Okay. Well, you're going to learn how.
Okay. All right.
So it is basically taking a sweet potato. Now, you can use one from the grocery, or you can buy specific kinds, which is what I would recommend, because the one from the grocery could possibly be from North Carolina, but it could be from somewhere else, and it may not be great for your area. Yes, I can tell
you. Can I add one thing about?
Yes.
You know, I should have pointed this out at the beginning,
okay.
But as you're in the grocery store picking out your sweet potatoes, notice that the sweet potato has no eyes.
That's right. Why is that?
Because the sweet potato is actually a root.
That's right.
Right. Your regular potato is actually a stem. Your sweet potato is a root. And your yam, by the way, is also a root.
I want you to argue at Thanksgiving about yams and
sweet potatoes. Yes. Okay,
yeah, I bet that's
you
a
know
conversation,
we should try and schedule the yam podcast.
Okay.
Around Thanksgiving. Let's do that.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So the science project, I would recommend mail order your sweet potatoes, and I'll get into a few varieties that I suggest. But but the science project part is basically sticking your sweet potato in a jar of water and putting the toothpicks in it. So half of it's above water and half of it's below. We've all done that with other things. But this, what your job is to produce slips. And slips is a technical term for the foliage part that is going to grow out of your root. And so that should take about a couple of weeks, and or maybe not even that long, depending on the sunniness of your window. Well, once those grow, you need to pick those off, discard the sweet potato, and then put those slips in
water.
Can
you eat it after that point?
I wouldn't want to.
Yuck, it would be kind of yucky.
Yeah, it would be kind of gross. Okay. So you put the slips, or those, the foliage part, in water to root.
Okay.
And that could take about a week, hopefully. And then you're going to transplant those slips into the garden.
How cool.
It is cool.
So basically, you've got this root that you just grew a shoot out of.
That's
then
right.
You take the shoot and you treat it like a shoot cutting.
Yes.
And you, so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It
I
really
love
is.
That.
And it's a great thing to do with your kids, you know, because they will be, because it's a quick turnaround. Right. It's not long, and you don't need special heating elements and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty simple.
Well, you know, what you're talking about here, and I've never heard of doing this, although it makes perfect sense, it's really emphasizing to me the reason that the sweet potato becomes so popular so rapidly in times of war. During the Civil War, the sweet potato went from something that was certainly popular to something that was just overwhelming. And the reason it was so overwhelming, according to all the reports, is just that it was so easy to grow and so easy to propagate. And the type of propagation you're talking about here, just very straightforward and fast.
It is. But the thing about the potato is that you could eat raw. You know, the sweet potato, you need to cook it. I mean, you don't have to, but it's hard to eat. It's so hard. So
yeah,
it's
actually,
something you have to cook.
Actually, you do have to cook it. If you don't cook it, it actually can't be properly digested.
Yes, I did read that.
Yeah. So it has to do with trypsin inhibitors, but we won't get into it.
Well, I didn't get past. I was just like, you can't eat a raw sweet potato.
You really, if you ate a raw sweet potato as a regular part of your diet, it actually would affect your health.
Okay.
I mean, eating it once, no big deal, but as a regular part of
diet. I think it's the heat that kills off.
It has an enzyme, which is a trypsin inhibitor. By cooking, the enzyme's destroyed.
That's
so you
right.
do have to cook it. But still, for people in the Civil War, you've got your sweet potato, you put it over a fire, it would be taken
care
of pretty
rapidly.
Peel
it off with your hands.
Right.
It's
well,
good.
It looks like they ate it in a variety of different ways. It was actually used as a coffee substitute.
Really?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I didn't see that. I didn't read that. Okay, I don't know if I would buy that today.
You can't imagine some of the stuff that I can't go through.
Okay.
I picked the most interesting stuff, but anyway.
One thing I want to say is that what is comical to me is you can grow the slips, you can plant the slips directly into the soil, and I would berm up your soil.
Right.
And
you mean mound it?
Mound it, yes.
Okay.
Or grow it in a container. And, and when you do that, you avoid a lot of the insect. And if you have nematodes in your soil, we don't here in the South very much, well, at least in North Carolina. But in other parts of the country, that is a problem. But if you put it in a container, like a 5-gallon paint bucket, I know it's not attractive, but you have a lot of control. And you're not going to feed the block with it, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about urban landscape, small production. If you put two slips in a pot, you're going to get these huge potatoes. The more slips in a pot, the smaller the potato, the smaller the sweet potato.
Right.
Now, what's funny to me is because in a pot, we're going to put loose soil.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it takes about 100 days after
you
plant it.
Would you actually use potting media?
Yeah, you could use potting media.
Okay.
And you know, that's loose,
right?
And it's perfect, and
right,
it's light, and it's
right,
airy. So when you're when you harvest your plants, pulling those out of the soil, it's like an Easter egg hunt. You know, they're just they're right there. You know, and there's no, they're not that dirty even. You know, they're like regular potatoes. It's just it's interesting to me. It's like voila, they're right there.
Very cool.
It is very cool. So the
what was the time between planting the slips and getting the potatoes?
I was just gonna say 100 days.
Okay.
So it's always gonna be around 100 days. Some of the varieties could be 90 days. Or 110 days, but you know, basically 100 days. And of course, put them in the ground if you have the space. There's some that take up more space than others. The pot, I think, is a better way to go if you don't need a lot of yield, you know, and you're just wanting to have fun with it. Now, Beauregard is popular in commercial variety, and that's probably what you're going to see at the grocery store.
Orange, right?
Yes. And it's pretty dark, too. Mm-hmm. The flesh is dark. Now, there's Bush Puerto Rico, and that's P-O-R-T-O, and it has a copper skin, and it's more, the vines are more compact, and you're going to have pretty big yields. But that's a great plant for small gardens if you're wanting to put them out in the landscape. Now, the Centennial is a good disease resistant, and it's about a 90-day mature rate, if that 10 days matters. There's Georgia Jet that has a reddish skin.
Now, oh,
that might
wow,
be, but it still has orange flesh. It's a 90-day one as well. Patriot is a great pest resistance, and it's great for organic gardens if that's your mode of choice. Now, the Rudy is a better pest resistant.
R-U-D-Y?
R-U-D-D-Y.
Okay.
Yeah, then the Beauregard that I mentioned first, and and I don't know why that's not in main production because of that, but that's just another option. Now, you have the Science Project, grows in pots. Now, the preparing the slips, I have to say, moving from slip to soil is tricky. And so making sure your plants don't die because of that shock, you know, of being grown in water and now trying to thrive in soil.
Right.
This can be an issue. So that can be a little bit of a hiccup.
You probably want to keep mist on it.
Yeah.
Mist it a few times a day.
So the 100 days, when you're going to harvest is when the tops start to die off.
Right.
That's kind of indicative that the root is ready to harvest. It's a high fertilizer need crop. So you want to feed it with a balanced fertilizer. I would recommend a granular, and then maybe every 10 days use a water soluble fertilizer.
Oh wow! So
it really needs,
because I know that it's an efficient crop, but at the same time, I guess if you're maximizing yield, then you want to
you're maximizing yield. Now, if you're trying to grow pretty flowers, and the foliage is okay on the yielding sweet potato.
Are we going to talk about the pretty sweet potatoes?
Of course,
because
we are.
You know, we can't forget that along with the healthy, you know, wonderful crop, we have these amazingly beautiful sweet potatoes.
And it was discovered at NC State by accident. Isn't that fun?
It is, but are you going to tell me whether I can eat those or not?
I don't mean to be a joy killer, because I really am an enthusiastic plant grower, but that doesn't taste good.
So the pretty ones really aren't going to, I suppose they're probably not poisonous.
So they're bitter. No, you can eat them. They just have a bitter taste to them. We've grown them for fun in the greenhouse just to see what would happen. It takes unnecessarily long to produce the root.
Okay.
You know, it's just it's not 100 days. It doesn't even give you enough to have a little lunch on. And it's not going to taste good either.
Right.
So, but the foliage, I mean, they've really, you know, when I was in school at NC State, they came out with, and it was pure by accident because it is a breeding program, and they breed sweet potatoes to create different flesh color, skin, toughness, because it does have to be transported with a variety of other things. One of the things I will say is that sweet potato does not like to compete with weeds.
Okay.
So it will decline. So that was another aspect of the research, is when did you have to really weed, you know, in a huge acreage production type farming. So in their research, they came across chartreuse colored foliage and black colored foliage that had this amazing vining habit. And somebody spotted that as a potential ornamental in the industry. And wow, nice. What a contribution, yeah. Don't you think?
I do. I love it. I plant, so although I haven't planted sweet potatoes to eat, mm-hmm. we plant sweet potatoes every year.
Well,
they fill an area rapidly. They're absolutely beautiful and low pest pressure.
They do. Now, the deer love it, I have to say.
Okay.
The deer love it.
I haven't had that yet.
But it's low to the ground, mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. going to go after plants that are a little higher mm-hmm. first. I mean, so maybe you won't be affected by deer problems. But it is expensive at the get-go at the nursery, mm-hmm. but you don't need a lot to fill up a big space. So if you can look at it that way, it's pretty inexpensive. Containers, I mean, there's
Loves
the sun. And that is one thing about sweet potato. It loves the heat.
Yeah.
And that's why it is a North Carolinian
crop. Likes the heat and sun. It's really not... I don't want to say it can't handle any shade, but it does so much better.
Yes. Now, one last thing, because I will drone on about the potato, the sweet
potato. Well,
the ornamental sweet potato.
This is actually
vine.
Something we've discussed before.
That's right.
I know you love the sweet potatoes.
Well, what I love is they've come out not only with just the two colors of that chartreuse and the black, but they even have copper and variegation, and it just goes on and on and on and has a lot of different uses for it and just makes everybody happy in the garden. So there you go.
Fantastic. This has been a production of UNC Charlotte and the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens. Alex Frizzell of UNC Charlotte's Isle Group helped us with the audio, and Alex Chapin was our IT guy with College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, also at UNC Charlotte. Thanks, and we look forward to talking with you next.